Tanto Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ascension by Sam Ferguson, narrated by Paul Baymer. Chapter 1. Algiron pulled his polishing cloth up and wiped the smudge from the newly laid egg. The blood and mucus slid away as he poured the bucket of water over the shell and then worked in a circular motion with his cloth. He whistled an ancient tune, one taught to him by the former nursery master, Folger Aptian. The tune was supposed to soothe the unborn form still inside the shell, or so Folger had said. A bit of the warm blood clung to Algiron's hand, but he didn't mind. He just wiped it on the front of his leather apron and continued cleaning the egg. The creamy, white-coloured shell began to sparkle before him after he put a bit of extra elbow grease into cleaning the muck from its surface. "Another common," Algiron sighed. He tossed his cloth on the top of the egg and whistled out to the nearest nursery worker. "Come and take this one," he said, without waiting to see which worker it was he had called. He descended down the ladder and moved on to the next egg. As nursery master, it was his responsibility to reveal the eggs, which, in turn, would show what kind of dragon lay inside. Most of the time the eggs were white, or perhaps a pale yellow or very light tan. These were the common dragons, those that would be born to serve the others. He found three more common eggs in the batch of seven, and began to lose hope.
"Still no spots?"
Gorwin asked from below as Algiron cleared the muck from another pale-coloured egg. Algiron shook his head and wiped his brow, almost hitting his face with the wretched afterbirth clinging to his wrist.
"Doesn't look like it."
"The king is getting old," Gorwin said. "Perhaps he is beyond his prime.
The Aurorian knows the High Queen has certainly passed hers." Algiron shot the young dwarf a sharp look.
"You will keep such opinions to yourself," he said harshly.
Gorwin nodded and blushed. Algiron moved his ladder to another egg.
"It could be anything," he said. "Perhaps it is poor diet, or perhaps just ill timing on the part of the queen."
The nursery master planted his ladder next to an egg so covered in muck that it almost looked more like a sickly stalagmite with a thick base of ooze that thinned near the top.
"Forgive me,"
Gorwin offered.
"Bah!"
Algiron grumbled. He poured the hot, steaming water from his bucket to the top of the new egg and went to work clearing away the red and pink layers of ooze.
"You are likely right,"
he said under his breath. Instantly he realized what he had allowed to escape his mouth, and he shot another glance toward Gorwin, as if she had been the one to force the words out of his mouth. The young dwarf shook her head and drew a finger across her lips, swearing secrecy. Algiron nodded and went back to clearing the gunk from the egg. A nasty bit of crusted blood was caked on the shell. Algiron scrubbed vigorously, pouring his water over the top every so often. The smudge didn't break or lessen.
"Get me the bucket of lemon juice,"
he said with a grunt.
"This one is going to be tough."
Gorwin ran to the entrance of the large, cavernous den and pulled a potent, acidic bucket of lemon juice out from a large stone chest. She bounded back, spilling a bit of the juice onto the ground as she went.
"Be careful," Algiron shouted. "It isn't easy to make a bucket of that stuff, you know."
"Sorry,"
she said as she slowed and carefully lifted the bucket up to Algiron, who took it quickly from her as a father might pull an arrow or knife away from a toddler.
"Someone has to go all the way down into the valley to harvest the lemons,"
Algiron complained.
"It isn't like drawing water from the geysers and wells inside the mountain. It takes time. It takes..."
His words trailed off, and the bucket fell to a crash upon the ground, splashing Gorwin in a wave of grey juice.
"Hey!"
Gorwin hollered out as she spat the sour taste from her mouth and tried to wipe it off her face.
"Go," Algiron said in hushed tones. "Go and sound the bell.
Gawain sucked in a breath. "What is it, Master Algernon?"
"A spot,"
he said faintly. He rubbed his hands over the red patch he thought to be crusted blood.
"We have a spot."
"Are you sure?" Gawain asked. "I don't want to be the one to ring the bell and have it be a false alarm."
"Go, child,"
Algernon said more forcefully. His hand slid the muck and slime away from the area to reveal that the red patch was indeed a spot on the narrow top of the egg, surrounded by bright white.
"By the Aurorian, we have a spot. We finally have a spot."
Gawain's mouth fell open, and she stood staring for a moment. Then she broke off into a sprint. Algernon traced the rim of the red spot with his finger. A smile crossed his plump lips, and his beard quavered as his eyes twinkled.
A spot.
Chapter 2.
Algernon sat upon his chair, nose in a book, and blowing the steam away from a mug of mulled wine. A fire crackled in the hearth nearby. He peered over the brim of the book with his bespectacled eyes, carefully checking the spotted egg. He smiled to himself and took a sip of the deep burgundy wine. He could feel the heat flowing through him as he swallowed. For a moment, he wondered if a dragon felt something similar when it breathed fire, or if it was something it did without feeling or thought. It had been months since the eggs had all been brought to the nursery. Algernon passed the time keeping the nursery and the eggs clean and safe from filth and intruders. Although he was only a dwarf, the nursery master had a special office and even held his sway over some of the lesser dragons in the kingdom, when it came to the nursery, that is. Loud, lumbering footsteps echoed through the hall without the nursery. Algernon stuck his leather page holder in the book and set it atop the small, rectangular table on his left. He rose from his chair just as Clerivelle, one of the lesser female dragons, stuck her white head through the entryway. She turned her eye and nodded reverently to the nursery master.
"I've come to replenish the heat,"
Clerivelle said. Algernon smiled and gestured with his hand for her to come in. He walked across the stone platform and picked up a dusting cloth as Clerivelle carefully picked her path through the eggs. She went to the spotted one first, as was the tradition. The white dragon lowered her sharply angled head and flared her nostrils as she took in a deep breath. Her ribs expanded, and she held her wings out to the sides, cupping the air around her. Then, gently, she parted her snout and sent a stream of fire at the rocky floor beneath the spotted egg. The stone hummed and started to glow ever so slightly. Clerivelle broke the stream and looked to Algernon. The dwarf quickly went over and placed a hand midway up the eggshell. It was warm to the touch, but not excessively. He nodded with a grin back to Clerivelle and pointed to the other eggs. Then he went to work dusting the bit of soot and dirt from the base of the spotted egg. Thus, the two continued to work for the space of about 2 hours. Clerivelle would heat the stone floor beneath an egg, and Algernon would clean the shell afterward. When all the eggs had been warmed, they began anew with the spotted egg, and completed many cycles before Clerivelle finished her assignment and left the nursery. Algernon then returned to his chair on the platform overlooking the nest and picked up his book again. He read for several hours, keeping watch over the eggs. Just an hour before sunrise, another dwarf entered the nursery and waved to Algernon. The thick-necked, pot-bellied dwarf smiled wide with a big-toothed grin and waved at Algernon.
"How went the night?"
Bildruff asked. Algernon set his book down lazily and rubbed his eyes.
"I must have read the last page a dozen times,"
he announced.
"Ah, so the night was boring,"
Bildruff stated with a curt nod.
"Well, that is good, I suppose."
"Better than having a challenger, or an egg thief," Algeron replied quickly. Bildruff grinned his big, toothy grin again and patted the axe hanging from his belt.
"No egg thief is getting through here, nursery master."
The dwarf's left hand went into a pocket and pulled a hunk of yellow cheese out. He picked off the lint, kicked his boots off, and laid on the warm floor next to a white egg.
"Are you a dwarf or a rat?"
Algeron asked. Bildruff only mumbled incoherently through a mouthful of cheese. Algeron shook his head and left the nursery, casting a foul look Bildruff's way as the rotund dwarf began picking at the grime between his toes. The nursery master walked through the main corridors, winding through the depths of the mountain until he came to a dwarf-sized passageway. He slipped into the smaller hall and was all too happy to reach his bedchamber a few moments later. He pulled a stone key from his pocket and unlocked the round door. He pushed it open, creaking and protesting against the force of his arm, and stared happily at his bed. "Hello, friend," Algeron said with a smile. Barely stopping long enough to kick his boots off, he entered, closed the door, and flopped down onto his fur blankets. He closed his eyes and let his thoughts wander for the last few conscious moments before he slipped into sleep's warm embrace. A bell sounded, and someone ripped the door open, shouting and yelling at Algeron. The nursery master opened his eyes and jumped to his feet. He saw Sniffton, one of the guards, standing in the room.
"Come on!"
he shouted.
"We have to move!"
Algeron sprinted out after Sniffton, running out from the dwarf hall and down the large dragon corridors. Dwarves were all around, shouting and clamoring with swords and spears drawn. Algeron wasn't sure whether the majority were trying to run out of the tunnels or farther in. He recognized most of them and could now finally recognize the tolling bell as the general alarm.
"Have we been attacked?"
Algeron shouted after Sniffton.
"Worse!"
Sniffton shouted out over his shoulder.
"An alarm sounded from the nursery. A unit of guards and drakes has already been sent to respond."
Algeron felt his heart stop as he realized the spotted egg may have been destroyed. The dwarf sped up, his bare feet slapping against the stone. He rounded the corner and dashed into the nursery. He had only gotten a few yards inside when he slipped on a thick slime that sent him crashing to his rump and sliding across the floor to bump against a broken dragon egg. Algeron looked on in horror, afraid to see what he already knew to be true. A mutilated, unborn dragon lay on the stone next to the egg. The yolk and mucous membrane had been splattered across the floor, creating a sulfuric stench that could choke even the staunchest of dwarves. Algeron grabbed into the jagged edge of the broken shell and pulled himself up to his feet.
"Bildruff!"
Algeron called out.
"Bildruff, where are you?"
Sniffton reached him by then and tapped his right shoulder.
"Over there."
Algeron turned, and his shoulders slumped.
"By dragon's beard,"
he sighed. He could see a blood-streaked ball of cheese on the floor next to a dismembered hand, still holding an axe. There were no other remains to be found.
"They fought well,"
Sniffton said as he pointed around the egg.
"They?"
Algeron echoed.
"Someone else was here beside Bildruff?"
Sniffton nodded.
"Minean, one of our new patrolmen, was going to spend the shift with Bildruff to see what it was like before starting his regular patrol duty. He had his horn with him, and he was the first to sound the alarm."
Sniffton shook his head and frowned sourly.
"No sign of him now, though. So I am sure the Atarats got here before the rest of us came to clear the monsters out. A couple of drakes and a few of my guards were able to rout the Atarats. It is still unclear how the Atarats entered, or where they came from. There is a bit of Menaean's foot over there, or at least, there is a remnant from his boot. Algiron slowly moved around to see bits of gore and flesh strewn about the floor. From what he could tell, there had been several Atarats, large beastly rodents which prey upon eggs. Algiron picked his way through the blood and found a severed head, the snout frozen in a hideous snarl, and the tongue hanging loosely over its bottom fangs. "This one here is still breathing!" Snifton cried out. Algiron moved around another pair of eggs to see Snifton raising his weapon over the animal's neck. "Wait!" Algiron shouted. Snifton paused and his shoulders slackened. "Are you demented? If this beast wakes, it will tear us apart." Algiron shook his head. "It's out cold," he noted. "Besides, Atarats haven't been seen in our forest for 3 centuries. Something drove them here. And I want to know what." Just at that moment, a loud, lumbering step entered the chamber. Algiron turned to see Sliverack, a great beast of a dragon with an angular snout and sharp, curved fangs that hung down below its jaw. The dragon narrowed its red eyes on Algiron and slowly edged into the nursery. "Take this to Hamminger," Algiron said, pointing to the unconscious Atarat. The dragon snorted, and a puff of smoke popped into the air before it. But it did as Algiron asked. It scooped the beast into its mouth, making it seem like nothing more than a field mouse in a dog's maw by comparison. After the dragon left, Snifton came up, whistling through his teeth and shaking his head.
"I would not like your job," he said.
Algiron shrugged.
"The lesser dragons are easy enough to deal with," he replied.
Then he looked to the mess around him and rubbed his face.
"You have to tell him, don't you?"
Snifton asked.
"We have a slain, unborn dragon, and at least one more egg that has a crack so large the yolk has already burst. 2 dragons and a dwarf have died today."
Algiron put his hands on his hips.
"Call the other nursery workers to come and clean this up. I will go and address the king."
Chapter 3. Algiron made haste back to his room. He knew the king would want the full report, but he also knew that it would be offensive to approach the king only half-dressed. He washed his hands and feet, and then he quickly put on clean clothes. As soon as he was ready, he left his room and walked farther into the mountain. Soon he came to a tunnel that required a key. He pulled a necklace up from under his tunic and slipped it into the keyhole. The lock popped open, and the iron gate swung loosely. Algiron pushed in and closed the gate behind him. He rounded a corner and then ascended up a spiraling staircase carved from the very mountain. The red and black veins in the stone shimmered under the magical light from the arc stones set in brass sconces upon the wall. It was quite a climb, even by dwarf standards, to reach the top of the stairs. King Geldrin's chamber sat in the upper reaches of the peak. When he finally arrived, Algiron stopped for just a moment to catch his breath. He looked back down at the spiraling stairs and shook his head. He then moved forward and put his hand on the iron ring in the door before him. He sucked in a deep breath and then pushed. The door struck a bell on the other side, ringing and echoing sharply through the hall. Fire along the walls lit the tunnel in this part of the mountain, fueled by a never-ending trough of natural gas and oil from deep within the mountain. Algiron closed the door. The bell rang again. He turned and walked down the hall, ignoring the glittering rubies and sapphires set in the walls beneath the troughs of oil. His feet fell upon stones of jasper and emerald, echoing softly down the tunnel. The twinkling diamonds in the arching ceiling above him reminded him of the stars, something he rarely got to see during his lifetime as nursery master. "Nursery master," he mumbled aloud as he wrung his hands. He closed his eyes and almost stopped to turn around. It wasn't fear of King Geldrin's anger that made him shrink. No, it was the shame. How had the Atarats gotten into the nursery? He approached the final door to the tunnel. A heavy portal of onyx, gilded in gold leaf, separated him from the king's council chamber. Shaking fingers reached out and seized the knob. Algernon took a couple of breaths to steady his nerves, and then he pushed the door open and stepped through. The light was blinding. Red and white flames rose in five columns in the chamber. A line of gold connected each column so that a golden star sparkled under the firelight. Beyond the star pattern was a pile of gold and jewels so tall that it would take 20 dwarves standing on each other's shoulders to equal its peak. Algernon eyed the mound warily and stepped into the chamber, moving to stand in the center of the star pattern on the floor. He quickly glanced at the murals around him in the dome-shaped chamber. They depicted auroras floating lazily above the land of Kendaldon, giving life to the first plants and animals. Above the auroras in the uppermost parts of the chamber was a painted dragon of pure light. Every color imaginable stretched forth from this dragon, forming and giving birth to the auroras that fed the life below. Algernon brought his gaze down to the mound of gold. A couple of nuggets fell, clinking and tinking off other nuggets and jewels, and creating a minute avalanche of treasure. A moment later, more gold and jewels fell, and up rose a snout from within the pile.
"Algernon, what news have you?"
a silvery voice asked. Jewels and gold fell to the floor all around, scattering across the chamber as the mighty dragon rose to stretch out from the pile. Her golden wings flared out, and her red and yellow forelegs extended before her as she stretched. She flipped her tail in an almost feline manner, while her gold-speckled green eyes bore down on the dwarf.
"Forgive me, Your Highness," he said with a deep bow. "But I must deliver my report directly to King Geldrin."
"What of Cyrivel?"
she asked in a smoky whisper. "Does the Queen not merit a report?"
"I mean no disrespect,"
Algernon said as he focused his eyes on the floor. Cyrivel slowly moved in closer, sliding her snout just above the floor in front of Algernon and forcing the dwarf to look at her.
"The egg that bears the red spot. Is it safe? You know that it is mine, do you not?"
Algernon nodded and then turned his head to the side, avoiding her gaze.
"I regret that tradition binds my tongue, and I am forbidden to share the report with any but King Geldrin."
A tendril of silvery smoke slithered out and around the dwarf, circling his neck and shoulders.
"So then, tell me nothing. Only nod your head if the egg is unharmed."
Algernon knew better than to rely on the sweet tone in Cyrivel's voice. He knew the difference between a request and an order.
"My queen has ever been one to bend the traditions and rules set out for our kind,"
a thunderous voice noted. Algernon turned to see his master enter the chamber from a side tunnel. Black as night, with dull, ridged scales, the dragon entered the bright room and turned his red-speckled brown eyes towards Cyrivel.
"In any case, I have never been one to withhold information from her," he said.
He turned to Algernon and locked gazes with the dwarf. Algernon felt a sudden sting in the eyes. He did not flinch. He was more than accustomed to the pain and knew to expect it. The sting gave way to a dull burning that crept behind his eyes and into his head. When the connection was complete, he felt only a flow of energy coursing through him, quickening his blood and relieving his tension.
Adarats attacked the nursery,
Algiron said in his mind.
Geldrin's nostrils flared, and a spark of rage could be seen farther down the deep tubes of his snout. What of the nursery?
Algiron felt the flow of energy intensify. He tried to answer the king's question, but the king was too impatient to wait, even for a thought. Instead, he searched Algiron's mind, poking and prodding through the dwarf's memories and recalling the images that the dwarf had seen.
Geldrin hissed and pulled his gaze away.
The connection broke. Algiron's head jerked forward slightly, and he stumbled two steps before regaining his balance.
The spotted egg is safe,
Algiron said quickly.
Atarats attacked the nursery,
Geldrin said gravely.
How did the Atarats gain access to the nursery?
Cyrivel snarled. Algiron shook his head.
I do not know as of yet, my queen. However, I am having preparations made to transfer the crowned eggs to the upper nursery. It is deeper inside the mountain and easier to defend. But there is only room for one egg in the upper nursery,
King Geldrin said. Algiron nodded.
That is correct. But I believe it best.
It has been several centuries since we have produced a crowned egg,
Cyrivel said. Geldrin turned away from Cyrivel at that comment. He brought his head down low and curved his neck so that he could bring his right eye close to Algiron.
Then it is time to relieve you of your title as nursery master,
Geldrin said. Algiron froze rigidly. The last dwarf to hear those words had suffered a terrible, fiery death following a mishap that destroyed only one egg in the nursery. The Atarats had done more damage than that.
Whatever you will of me, I am yours to command,
he said resignedly.
Algiron, you have been a good steward, but I shall need you to assume personal care of the crowned egg.
The dwarf started to flinch, expecting the worst, but then, when the words sank in, his mouth fell open and he looked up to his king with wide eyes.
You are not displeased with me?
He asked.
There is no fault for last night's attack other than the blame that lies with the Atarats. I saw the carnage as you saw it, through your memories. I can see that there is nothing more you should have or could have done. We have not seen Atarats in my dominion for well over an eon. There was no reason to suspect them now.
Geldrin retracted his head and stood tall over the dwarf.
Go and appoint a successor to be nursery master. That successor will manage all of the nursery affairs in the main nest. You will go to the upper nursery with the crowned egg. I require that you move all of your belongings there as well. From this moment on, you shall remain with the crown egg. You shall be given the title of Royal Hatcher, and your authority among dwarves shall be chief among all who deal with eggs, hatchlings, and lesser dragons. You shall answer directly to me.
And to me,
Cyrivel put in.
That is my egg also.
Algiron nodded.
I shall get to it immediately.
Chapter 4 Hermion sat atop a log, sharpening his axe. The grainy stone scraped and tore at the rough edges and nicks on the steel until it was smooth as wet marble. He pulled the blade up close to his right eye and squinted as he inspected the blade. He plucked a red hair from the side of his cheek, ignoring the sting as the follicle pulled free of his skin. He slowly moved it to the blade and smiled wickedly, as the blade first cut through the hair sideways and then...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?